chapter number 29. Got a lot going on. Music camp's coming up next Sunday. I'm going to ship a bunch of young people and helpers off down to Tennessee for a week, and some of them's going for 2 weeks. And so there's summer's getting gone, but there's still a lot going on. So let's remember the music camp coming up. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18. We're going to read one verse, and then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. The book of Proverbs, chapter 29, verse number 18. It's a very familiar passage of Scripture. And the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Let's pray. Lord, we just come today, and I want to thank you for letting us be here. I want to thank you for all the blessings that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that you would help in the preaching of thy word. Not only that we would just hear with our physical ears, but we would hear with our spiritual ears, that we would hear with our heart. And God, that you would speak to us as thy people, as Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and as individuals and families in the church, Lord, that we would be a people that have a vision. Lord, that you would that we would be not discouraged but encouraged in these latter days. And Lord, that you would help us to take the principles of the Word of God and apply them to our hearts and our lives. Lord, I pray that you would help today. I pray, Lord, that your will would be done. And I pray for liberty. I pray that nothing would hinder. And we'll thank you for all that you do. We come and ask these things in Jesus' name and amen. Let's read that verse one more time, Proverbs chapter 29. Verse number 18, the Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. And in years gone by, I've preached from this verse. I've quoted it. I've told illustrations out of it before. It's a very common proverb. But usually you only hear the first part of the verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's the part of the verse that we're probably most familiar with. But I want to preach on it today on the whole verse, not just a thought out of the verse. And we preached topical messages out of this verse, just talking about being a vision and what kind of vision. But I want to look at the whole verse today and the true meaning of this verse. I've been studying about it, thinking about it, praying about it this week. There's a very important life principle that's taught in verse number 18. And it can apply to us as individuals. It can apply to us as a church. It applies to us as a nation. You can take the verse, an organization could take it, and most businesses that are successful, corporations or maybe even a nonprofit organization of some kind, they say we have to have a vision. We have to have something we're aiming for, something we're our goal. And so there's a principle here that if we would apply in our lives, it'd really help us. And I won't try to preach just on the subject, the title today. I want to preach on this subject, dream or die. You find that in this verse of Scripture. We're either going to dream or we're going to die. You could preach this or in the form of a question. Are you dreaming or are you dying? You could say it in the form of a statement. If you're not dreaming, you're dying. I'll point out what that means as we go along. There's just three things I want to try to point out from verse number 18. Number one, there's the dream. You say, what are you talking about, a dream? Well, the first part of verse number 18 says, where there is no vision. Where there is no vision. This word vision, if we look up what it means in the Bible, it means this. It means to have a sight mentally. A picture in your mind is what that is talking about. It means a sight mentally. That is a dream. What are you dreaming about? What do you have a vision of? What are you aiming? What do you have your sight set on? It means a dream, a vision, a revelation, or an oracle, which means a spoken word. Where there is no vision, what it's saying, where there is no dream, that the people perish. Where there is no mental picture of what we're aiming at, what we're trying to accomplish or do. Now, we as people are designed by God to dream things. What I mean by that, I'm not just talking about what you dream at night, because that can, for me, that gets pretty scary sometimes. I don't live my life by things I've dreamed, especially after I had pizza late at night. That'd be dangerous. I'm not talking about that kind of dreaming. I'm talking tonight or this morning that we are designed by God to envision things in our mind. What is common to all of us, just by way of illustration, when you are a child or those that are in here that are still children, you're young, a common question that is asked to all of us, what are you going to do when you grow up? What are you going to be when you grow up? See, that ability to envision is planted in us from the time that we're little children. What do you want to be when you grow up? Well, you get to thinking about that. What do I want to be? What am I interested in? What appeals to me? We are designed by God to envision things in our mind. So it begins at a very early age. What do you want to be? And the first thing we do about that, we begin to imagine something for ourselves. Here's a little boy over here. He wants to be a fireman. He's already begun to envision something for his life. Here's another one over here. Here's a little one over here. They want to be a nurse. They want to be a doctor. Here's someone over here. They want to be a ball player. And so you begin to think in your mind. You begin to envision in your mind what you want to be. And that's the first thing you do. You imagine it in your mind. That's a vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish, is what the Bible says. Now, I do not go along with the thought that we are just animals. We are not animals. We are different from the animal world. Men and women were created by God. They were put in charge of the whole thing. God said to them, He said, go and be fruitful and multiply. And man is to be a steward over the earth. And we, among all of God's creation, are the only ones that have the ability to dream, to envision, to think about the future. Now, if you go and ask a little puppy what it wants to be when it gets to be a big dog, let me tell you, it doesn't think anything. Now, I know how you are today. Well, what about the pony that had the dream to run in the Kentucky Derby? That's a person put the imagination on the animal. The animal is just an animal. You go ask a little chicken what he wants to be when he grows up. He does not say, I want to work for Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, I'm just telling you this morning, animals and people are totally, completely different. We're the only ones out of God's creation. We are made. We are created in the image of God. We're different. We can envision, we can dream, we can think about, we can be motivated to things. In my life, I have dreamed of being many different things, of doing many different things in my life. But I think about my life, I've always dreamed of being or doing something. God puts that in the heart and in the mind of each and every one of us. And if you have a vision, it'll do something for you. A vision will motivate you like nothing else. You ought to have something you're dreaming about, something you're thinking about. If you have a vision, it'll cause you to get up in the morning. Got something to do. There's a goal. There's a purpose in life if you have a vision for something. I'm just preaching it in broad general terms right now. We're going to get more and more biblical as we go along, but it'll help anybody if they've got a reason to get out of bed. It'll cause you to get up. It'll make you go to work. It'll teach you what it means to have discipline. You'll learn what it means to sacrifice, to plan, to set goals, to have patience, and to wait on something, and to focus your mind and your efforts, and to try as you never have before. There's a real simple recipe for being successful, and a lot of people would be amazed if they would incorporate it. It's called try. You can sit around and talk about something all that you want to. The Bible says the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. What that means is you just sit around and talk about something, you're never going to get anywhere. You're just going to end up in poverty. But in all profit, there is labor. That's what the Bible says. You go to work. You want to be successful? You want to accomplish something? Just try. And if that don't work, there's something else you can do. Try harder. That'd help a lot of people if they just do that. But you got to have a vision. You got to have a desire. You got to have a mental picture in your mind. I remember when I was going through Bible Institute years ago, and it took me a long time to get through that. Took me a couple years correspondence, and then I went for 3 years, and I went through some of the classes that I had already taken in the past. But do you know, as I sat there and I took those classes, and I went every Thursday night, and I applied myself and applied myself, do you know, the whole time I knew in my mind that God intended that one day I would stand up there and teach. Now, I never told anybody that. I never asked anybody about it. I had no desire to put anybody out of what they were doing, but I just knew in my heart. I'm talking about having a vision. I'm talking about having a dream about something. I'm talking about working towards something with a goal in mind. The whole time, every week I would sit there, and as I learned and as I studied, I could see myself. I knew in my heart that it was God's will that one day I'd stand up there and teach. And I've taught now longer than I went to school. Many, many years, in fact. Some of these classes I've taught several times over the years. There's a lot of trying, a lot of hard work in that. You got to have, if you're going to make anything, do anything in this life, you've got to have a vision. I've seen a T-shirt a girl was wearing, and on the back of it, it's a young teenager, and on the back of her shirt, and I pointed it out to Kim, it said on her T-shirt, she said, "I can't, I have soccer." And I told Kim, I said, "I guarantee you that girl is dedicated to playing soccer, wouldn't you?" I mean, that was her statement, whatever. Anybody ask her, she just said, "I can't, I have soccer." Now, that she evidently had a dream. She had a desire. She had something that she was interested in and wanted to do. Now, you may be thinking, what's that got to do with the Bible, with Jesus, with salvation? Let just stay with me. We're looking at the whole verse, not just part of the verse. But first thing you find in this verse is the dream. Where there is no vision, you've got to have a vision in your life. There's the dream, first of all. Second of all, there's the dying. Look what the Bible says. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, I think you know what the word perish means. The word perish, it means to loosen. When somebody is just about to die, that's what they do. We're losing them. They're going away. They're perishing. You see, plants perish and animals perish and people. It means to loosen, to let go. It means to dismiss. It means to absolve. Meaning you were there, but shriveled up and went away and died. Where there is no vision, the people perish. I was working in my garden several weeks ago, and I was pruning in my tomatoes, which I enjoy doing work like that. And I had one plant, I guess it was up 2.5 feet tall. And I went up and I did some work on all of them, and I came back through later, and I don't know what happened, but evidently I got a little too close, and I snipped the stalk, and the whole top half of it broke off there on the ground. There's nothing I could do but just to take and cut it off right there, and it's just above the bottom leaves, and it was about a foot high after that, and I looked at it. It looked like a capital T sticking up out of the ground. All it was a stalk and two single leaves out to the side. And I knew it wouldn't make anything, but I just thought to myself, I thought, I'm just going to leave it there for a while and see what happens. And I left it there and I watered it just like the rest of them, and it, there's nothing else to do to it. I guess when I passed by, I sprayed a little spray on it. But I looked at that thing and looked at that thing. A week went by. I thought maybe a sprout might come out of the side, or sometimes from the base, a sprout will come up. But nothing. And then it just began to get poorer and poorer. And finally, the other day, I knew it wasn't going to make anything, and I just pulled it up by the roots and threw it on the burn pile. But you know what I did to that tomato plant? I took away its purpose, its design in life. And when it, in the way God designed it, was not going to ever make a tomato, it just began to perish. Its whole purpose, its whole reason for existing, I took it away. Can't live like that. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish. They will die, they will shrivel up, and they will absolve. It saddens me to look around and see in life so many people that are just going through life, and they obviously, and you can talk to people, and they have no vision, they have no dream, they have no desire, they have no motivation. I mean, everything you talk, if you ever talk to somebody and they just have the attitude, oh, it doesn't matter anyway. What's the use? We was talking to somebody the other day, a week or so ago, and sometimes people say, well, whatever. Whatever. We kid at the house, Kim and I, but I don't want Chloe saying that. So maybe I shouldn't say that either. But you know, when you have somebody and their motivation for life, they have no dream, no desire, just going through the motions. And I'm telling you, we in America, we are running ourselves to death, and people are sadder. We ought to be, if stuff makes you happy, Americans ought to be the happiest people in the world. But you can go to a third world country where they don't have anything, and you'll find out that they are a whole lot happier than a lot of people that live in America, and they got everything. Physically speaking, stuff does not make you happy. If you don't have any desire, if you don't have any vision. And I realize today there's plenty to get discouraged about. If all you do is look at the news and read the newspaper and read the internet, and I know that's bad news, I mean, economically speaking, physically, I mean, economically, the forecasting, you know, the stock market's going to crash and all that kind of stuff. And then California's running out of water in their western states. That's bad. And morally and spiritually. And I mean, you could just go on and on. And I mean, there's plenty of bad news. But if all you do is focus on the bad news, I promise it'll suck the spiritual life out of you. It'll cause you to have the attitude after a while, well, why? What's it matter anyway? What's the use of trying or going on? Wouldn't you hate to be a young person and trying to decide what you're going to do with your life? You know, you're going to go to school, get a job, go to college. You know, if you looked at the news and measured by that, it'd be easy just to say, why? If I go to school, I'd just be in debt. If I get a degree, most of your college graduates are not finding jobs in what they got a degree in. That'd be very discouraging. Wasn't that way in the 70s. Wasn't that way in the 80s. I mean, you'd go to school and you better yourself. Now, you might just come out with a big debt and can't find a job. Wouldn't that be discouraging? I can see why people would lose their motivation, lose their desire, and want to just throw up their hands and quit. But I'm telling you this morning, although it would be easy to just throw up your hands and say, what's the use? That is of the devil. He never wants us to live like that, because when we go around, what's the use? That's the attitude of fear. That's the attitude of doubt, of worry. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 1 and 7, it says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That fear that causes you not to want to do anything, that's from the devil. God made us to have a vision. God made us to have desires. God puts within His children a desire. And I was preaching last week, we ought to desire to build up, not tear down. But there's the dying. Usually it stops right there. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We understand that. That's easy to understand. You're either going to have a vision, you're going to have a desire, or you're just going to perish. You're just going to pass away. Look at all of this verse. There's the design. Now, this is where it gets exciting to me, is just studying God's Word. What's this say? If you'll notice here in verse number 18, talking about the design, look at what the verse says. It says, where there is no vision, the people perish. Now, that is not a period at the end of that, but the verse goes on. And so it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But we're guilty many times. We cut it off right there. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But it does not stop there. It says, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. That is one complete thought. And God intended it to all be taken together. Now I want to point out something interesting about this verse. The word vision and the word law, both of those words actually refer to the Word of God. The word vision and the word law are both talking about the Word of God. If you study this word vision all throughout the Bible, it's referring to, it means a not just a dream or a mental picture, but it means a revelation. Isaiah chapter 1 in verse number 1, for example, it says the vision which Isaiah saw. Now, the vision which Isaiah saw, it was the Word of God that spoke to him. That was his vision. That was his purpose in life, was to go and tell the people what the Lord said. That was his vision. And the word law here, the word law refers to the Word of God. It refers specifically to the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible. It refers to the Decalogue. It refers to the Ten Commandments. It's talking about the law of God. These words are both talking about the Word of God. You could reverse the words and retain the meaning. Now, I'm not changing the Bible in saying this, but just look at this verse. If you reverse those words and said, where there is no law, the people perish. Look at America today. Are things going to get better? Not if we don't change our ways. Where there is no law, where there is no Word of God, the people perish. If we're going to thumb our nose at the Lord and His Word and His ways and the law of God, no. Things aren't going to get better. We're going to perish. That's what the Bible is teaching here. If it said, where there is no law, the people perish. But he that keepeth the vision, he that keepeth the revelation that God has given to you, happy is he. Doesn't matter what's going on in society. What matters is my relationship with the Lord and His Word in my heart. I can still be happy. You can still be happy. You can still have a life that has purpose and fulfillment and meaning. We find the design of God here in these words. Now, if we apply this to ourselves, the dream, the vision that keeps us alive and happy is not the dream and the desire that comes from my heart. Jeremiah 17 and 9 said, the heart, your heart, my heart, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I'm not preaching this morning, why, just get a dream and just follow it and just do whatever's on your heart. I'm talking about finding out what God designs. what God has spoken to us and follow that. Because if you follow your heart, you'll just end up unhappy. You'll end up spending a long time down the wrong road. Look over just a few pages. Look in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 2. That's probably two pages in your Bible. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 2. I'm going to just point out some things in verses 1 through 11. I'm not going to read all of these verses, but Solomon, now the book of Ecclesiastes, you have to understand, this is Solomon's inspired confession of failure. When he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes, he's an old man. He's went a long ways away from God. And he's basically saying, let me give you my testimony where I went wrong. And the very last chapter, the very last verses, Solomon said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Solomon is saying, don't make the same mistakes that I made as a young man. Follow God. Don't follow me. He's talking about all the things that he's tried in life. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. And behold, this also is vanity. He said, I just made it a point of my life just to have a good time. Just enjoy everything under the sun. Verse 2, he said, I said, of laughter it is mad, and of mirth what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. He said, I became a wine taster, a wine drinker, enjoyed pleasure and fun and all them kinds of things. Look at verse number 4. I made me great works. I builded me houses. I planted me vineyards. Solomon didn't just have a second home. He had several homes. He had land. Verse 5, I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees and all of them, all kind of fruits. I made me pools of water to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I get me singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men and as musical instruments and that of all sorts. Man, he had everything. Everything he had accumulated and gathered unto himself. Verse 9, so I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Look at verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. Look at that. Whatever mine eyes desired, whatever he imagined, whatever he could dream up. He said, I'd like to have a jacuzzi out there. You fellas go build it. I'd like to have an apple orchard over there. You guys go plant it. I'd like to have some Ebenezer stallions over in my stables over there. You go find me some, bring back or whatever them are. Man, whatever. Whatever. You talk about lifestyles of the rich and famous. Solomon lived it. But he said in verse number 11, then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought and on the labor that I'd labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. There was no profit under the sun. If Solomon would have wanted to, he could have scraped up enough gold and silver to take a bath in. He could have made him a big old pile of gold and he could have jumped over in it and just played in it. Like, I mean, he was filthy rich. He had everything that he ever desired. And when he got done and he looked at all of it, you know what he said? It's all vanity and vexation of spirit. What that means is it's all vanity. That means it's all empty. And vexation of spirit means that although he was rich, he couldn't enjoy it. It's just bothersome to him. What am I going to do with it? Now somebody's coming all the time. What about this? What about this? It just vexed his spirit. The key to the wonderful palace called happy is not in my vision for my life, but it is in the Lord's vision for my life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct thy paths. I don't know what I want in the future, but God sure does. I don't know what I ought to be dreaming about, but the Lord sure does. Psalms 37 and 4, the Bible said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. That desire to teach in school came not while I was out here in the world trying to get full of pleasure doing what I wanted to do, but while I was doing something the Lord wanted me to do. And He gave me a right desire in my heart. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. That means He'll put the right things in your heart to desire. As I was growing up and getting older and became a young man and married, and I tried everything under the sun, but nothing ever stuck with me. Nothing ever really appealed to me very long until I found what God's will for my life was. God wanted me to be a preacher. And until I surrendered to do that, I never was satisfied in anything that I ever tried. You might be here today and you might say, well, I that sounds interesting, but I don't know what God's will for my life is. You know, some things are easy to tell people. What's God's will for your life and my life? Number one is that we would be saved. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 10, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. That means He waits on us sometimes a long time. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing. What's God's will? Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will for your life and my life is, first of all, we would know Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the Lord's will. That's why God gives opportunity to hear the gospel. The good news of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, so we could be saved, so we could be born again, as the Bible says. That's God's will for your life. That's the most important thing in life. God's will for your life also is to walk in the light that you have. The law is the Word of God. Psalms 119, 105 said, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That same chapter, Psalms 119, David said, I will walk at liberty for thy precepts. The Word of God did not hem him in, but the Word of God gave him liberty and freedom. See, God knows what we need to be happy. And in order to be happy in this life, you do not need just to fling the fence wide open and say, there's the whole wide world, just go jump right in. Anything and everything. God knows that never made anybody happy. We are happiest within the confines of His loving Word. All them thou shalt nots, that's for your own good. That's because God loves you. We tell our children, you do not cross that road without looking both ways. Is that because we're mean and we don't love our children? No, we love them. We don't want harm to come their way. We don't want danger. We watch over them. We walk down there with them. We teach them. We train them. We don't want them to get run over. That's not being mean to say, don't do this and don't do this and don't do that. God knows. The Bible said, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. God has given us the law. And that law, if we live within that light that we have, there's happiness there. If we find the vision that God has for our life, the word that he speaks to us, well, there's happiness there. Jesus said it to his disciples in John 15, verse number 8. He said, "Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit." God wants us in our lives to bear fruit. Not everybody's going to be a preacher. Not everybody's going to be a missionary, but I promise you, God's got something for you to do. And God wants to get some fruit out of your lives. If you plant a garden, you just don't plant it and let it grow up and just turn back to what it was. It'll never make anything there. You work in it, you labor in it, you want, what do you want out of it? You want fruit. What does God want out of our lives? God wants some fruit out of our lives. Now, there's different ways to get fruit. Depends on what you're dealing with. There's a way to raise cabbage. If you'll just stay awake a few more minutes, I'll be done. Bless your hearts. What do y'all do on Saturday? Good night. Go to bed at a decent hour and come and stay awake for 45 minutes. What a blessing that would be. It sure encouraged me along the way. Somebody will say, "Was that me?" Yeah. You ought to see some things I see sometimes. If you're raising cabbage, you're just going to get one thing out of that. Some of us, God has one thing He wants to get out of our life. Paul said in Philippians, "This one thing I do." If you're raising tomatoes, you don't want to just get one. You want to get a bunch of fruit. So you got to go back and work on them and care for them and make sure they don't get sick and blight and insects. And really, they're hard to raise, like some of you. But God keeps working on you. Some of you are like Brussels sprouts. It's the first year I've ever raised Brussels sprouts. But I got a lesson even out of Brussels sprouts, because I seen them at the store and I wanted to raise some. I like them, and I took them up there and I asked the girl, I said, "All right," I said, "I've never raised these. What do you do?" And she said, "Well, I tried last year and I got some beautiful plants, but I never got anything out of them." I said, "Well, I'll take them anyway. I'm going to try them." So I took them and I tried them. And I went and asked somebody really knew. I said, "I planted some Brussels sprouts. What do I need to do?" She said this. She said, "Don't give up on them." Isn't that good? Because that's one of the first things I planted, and I've looked and I've looked and I've looked, and then they'd lay out there like they were dead. Leaves all on the ground. I thought, that's perished. It rained a little bit. They'd come back, and I look, and I look, and I can't tell that they're doing anything. She said, "Don't give up on them. Keep fertilizing them." She said, "It's going to be late in the season, but you'll get some Brussels sprouts." You know what? I walked by the other day, and I said, "Well, I'll be." All over that thing, just little tiny. I said, she was right. And some of you are like Brussels sprouts. You look like you ain't never going to amount to nothing. But I'm telling you, God will not give up on you. Everybody else might. But the Lord desires to get fruit out of our life. He has designed us that way. He has designed us to have a desire. He's designed us to have a vision. He's designed us to live within the confines of His liberating Word. The Word of God will set you free. And He's designed for us not to be unhappy, but happy in this life. But it's only in relationship to His Word. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Now, if you bow your head, don't go to sleep.